From the beautiful mountains of East Tennessee, this is the Winning Truth webcast. Thank you for joining us today. It's our prayer that God will bless as we study His Word together. So let's go right now into today's message. Message out of Psalm 103. Follow along as I read this. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. And he sums it up. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. You cannot understand the greatness of God until you realize that His greatness puts Him above everybody else. There is none greater than God. We began this journey last week looking at just a glimpse of His greatness, and we continue by focusing in on today what makes Him above everybody, greatness alone that no one can touch. And ask yourself this question: why is it that I don't just get ecstatic about the worship of God? Maybe you do, and I hope you do. But if you don't, why is it that I don't? Because you can't find anything greater than God. Now think about it. Nothing greater. You win a ball game, or your team wins a game and you celebrate, but it's done and over with, and next year somebody will beat you. You get something accomplished in life and it lasts a little bit, and then you got to do something else. With God, you can never outdo God. God doesn't need to be one up because God cannot be one up. God is greatness alone. Fill in the blank, number one. He knows the beginning from the end. Now think about that. He knows the beginning from the end. He understands everything about our life. Why? Because He is God alone. And God is the creator of everything. He has our days numbered. He knows what we're going through. He understands it. He provides what we need when we need it. And He knows the beginning from the end. He knows, hey, we started out this way. He knows how we're going to end. You know, birth is exciting, but so is death. I was sharing the other day when we did Grace Goforce Memorial that a buddy of mine had said to me a couple months ago, he said, you know, the cemetery is the most exciting place to be. And I said, you're nuts. I mean, nobody just says, hey, let's go to the cemetery today, do you? And he said, think about it for a moment. That's all I'm going to say. And so I began to think, and it dawned on me. You know, a cemetery is a great place. Because it's at a cemetery you realize the whole of life. Everything comes together at a cemetery. The stuff that doesn't mean anything is forgotten. The stuff that matters is remembered. For Christians, it's an exciting, incredible thing. Why? Because we know that the grave is not our final resting place. In fact, we never get into the grave. But through Christ, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So a cemetery is a great place. I'll never check into a cemetery. My old body will, if the boys decide to do that. But I won't check in. I'll be gone. I'll be in heaven. God knows that beginning from... He knows this earthly body goes back to dust. He understands all of that. You know, it's an amazing thing to realize God gets us. Nobody else may get you, but God gets you. Think about it. I mean, you've looked at people and you said, why don't you understand me? And people have looked back at you and said, why don't you understand? I don't understand you. God understands you. Why? Because God made you. He made you in His image. Now think about that for a minute. He made you in His image. He's got you under in His understanding because you're made after Him. That's why when somebody tells you you came from a tadpole or an amoeba or a speck of whatever way back when, you need to understand why that's such a dangerous thought. Because if you came from an animal, then you're going to act like an animal. But because you came from God, you should act as one who is in the lineage of God. A whole different perspective. Isaiah 46 says this, I am God and there is none like me. This is God speaking. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God declares it. And there's nothing that you and I can do to change who God is. That's why we need to celebrate His greatness. You'll never begin to figure out how your life should be lived until you begin to celebrate just how great God is. Now think about that for a minute. We do all kinds of things to get people pumped up, don't we? How many of you would be honest this morning and say on Sunday mornings, there are some Sunday mornings you just come in and you're dragging? Raise your hand. Okay? All right? And there's some Sunday mornings you just don't get whatever we're singing or whatever I'm preaching, and you're just sort of like, okay, I can't wait to go home. Raise your hand. You do and I'll kill you. I'm teasing. You know, there's times that we have a hard time. Why? Well, number one, we don't prep for today. Now, Beth does. I do. Your Bible study teachers do. But most people, they don't prep for today. In fact, we take the worship of God for granted. When you get the greatness of God, you won't take it for granted. When you get the understanding that He is God alone, and in that He's got you covered from birth till death, you'll get and you'll understand there's something incredible about a God who says, I love you, I created you, I made you, and I've got you. Trust me. You know, all over America right now, there's a new battle. The battle is over life. In fact, those of us who believe that life begins at conception are beginning to win that battle. And it's an amazing trend in a world that's going nuts. Life is coming back as something of value. And there's been a big battle brewing in that home state of mine. Bunch of morons. And I can say that because I was born there. But Texas has had the recent battle of it. And it got just flat out ugly this week. And everybody was talking about, you know, how in the world? Well, here's the deal. If you think God doesn't get you, then you're going to be incredibly frustrated and you're going to be mad at the world. Why? Because there's nothing left for you if God doesn't get you. But if God gets you because God created you and because God's sustaining you and because God knows you and He understands you and He's going to help you, then you understand that life is precious. Why? Because you belong to God. And all of a sudden you'll realize, man, that's an incredible, great God that can love each one of us in the exact same manner. Everybody gets all of God's love that there is to get. That's how great He is. And He never stops loving you. Look at number two. He has all the wisdom that will ever exist. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The last person that ever gets asked when someone says, what should I do, is God. Usually we go to everybody else. God says, if you lack it, ask me. He's sitting there waiting to give you the answers that you need in life. Now think about it. You run into all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's medical. Sometimes it's money. I mean, everybody has a little money issue, right? Struggling with, what do I do? How should I do this? Should I make this decision or not? You realize the runaway debt problem in America is because we don't ask God before we spend money. God even cares about our purchases. He understands the whole thing better than we do. And we go through life and we're looking for all these answers, asking everybody and everything but God. Have you ever had a tough decision to make and you flipped a coin? How many of you have ever done that? This side's being honest. The rest of you, I'm not sure about. You know, I'm like one of those guys that when I flip a coin, it always lands on its side. And I never get that answer that way. Or maybe sometimes you've said, you know, I've got this decision. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go with my heart. I'm just going to trust my heart. And so you trust your heart and it crashes and burns. And then what do? We blame God. Well, God, where were you? God says, I was right here. You never asked. You know, you don't call heaven and get a busy signal, do you? You don't call heaven and go to voicemail. You ever thought about that? You don't call heaven and they don't pick up. God's always there, ready to give out the wisdom that we need. All we have to do is ask. This is talking about our prayer life. You know, the Bible says pray without what? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Always, always pray. Never stop. Always be in interaction with God. Always be listening to God. We take prayer and we turn it into that always crying out and always complaining to God. How many of you ever complained to God? If your hand's not up, you're crazy. We've all complained to God. How much time do we spend just listening to God? Or how about reading His Word? Peter, Kerry Crowe's grandson, was in my office last week. And he was looking over my computer and he was looking over my iPad and he was looking over my preaching Bible. And he says, Pastor Tim, you don't preach from a Bible. And I said, hey, Peter, have you opened it up or are you just judging it by its cover? And he looked at me and he looked at Kerry and he said, what is he saying? Kerry said, I think he's daring you to open it up. He said, well, I've seen a notebook before. And so I grabbed it and I opened it up and I started flipping through and I've got the Bible in here. He said, I've never seen a Bible like that. Wow. I said, so what are you going to say? And I thought he was going to say sorry, and he says, that's pretty cool. You know, until we open it up and look inside it, we don't realize what's in it. The greatness of God includes the fact that He's got everything we need. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is read. I want you to write down those two words. I need to listen and I need to read. Why? Because He's got all the wisdom that I need, and if I'll just ask, it shall be given. The Bible even says we have not because we ask not. And we think, okay, I want $1 million. That's not what God's talking about. Because $1 million is not your answer to your life trouble. It's the wisdom that we need to make the right decisions that we need. It's the wisdom that we need that understands God's got us. Look at the third thing. He alone is perfect. Psalm 18:30. Look at it on the screen. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Now, stay right there on that verse. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. What does that mean? There's not a single thing about God or that comes from God that's evil or bad or incomplete. He is perfect. Can you imagine looking in the window, looking out and seeing your reflection, and seeing that you're perfect? Not in your mind, but in reality. That everything you did, every word you spoke, every action that you committed was perfect and complete. That's who God is. And He gives us His Word, which is the same. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His Word is complete. His Word is perfect. And in that, He gives us this incredible ability to live as He lives. To live as He is. You say, well, how can we be perfect? We're sinners. Look at the next verses coming up. Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. How are we supposed to do that? You know, you've heard this saying before. Well, I'll take a step forward, but then I take two steps back. But as long as I'm getting those steps forward, well, if you keep doing that formula, you're losing ground every day. The Bible says we're supposed to live striving to be like Christ, to be Christ-like. Now, how do you do that? He's not talking about you and I adopting a bunch of rules and regulations. Here's what He's saying. Understand how great He is. Understand how perfect He is. And just simply live your life celebrating His greatness. And in that, He makes the changes. We're all not going to look alike. Aren't you glad we don't have to wear uniforms at church? You ever thought about that? You know, school uniforms is always an interesting subject when people talk about it. Some people just flat out dress crazy, right? And some people need to wear uniforms. But at church, we don't have to all look the same way. We don't have to all talk the same way. But every one of us, in who we are, should be living in such a way that we're all moving towards that perfect, incredible, God-like life. That He's living through us because He's living in us. And we are not conforming to this world, but we're conforming to Him because we've been made in His image. When you get the greatness of God, think about it for a minute. God understands you. He's got you. From the moment you were born until the moment you die, God's got you. The reality of how much He loves you, that He just wants to pour Himself out to you. You can be the most intelligent, spiritual person there is. Every single one of you. Because God gives His wisdom to all who just simply ask. And you can be what God wants you to be. Perfect? Well, we've sinned. But that doesn't mean you throw the thing out. The reality is that God loves us and gives us His mercy. And God grows us. And He makes us to be like Christ. You know, we said goodbye this week to Grace. Grace, many of you know, or some of you don't know who I'm talking about. Longtime member of Arlington. Grace was a unique individual. That's what everybody did at the cemetery the other day. When I got the call that she was headed down and that death was coming, I began to jot down words that described Grace. You wouldn't believe some of the words I put down. The very first word I put down was ornery. Loud. Obnoxious. Sometimes mean. Weird. God, I'm not sure what you were thinking. And I just kept jotting down stuff and jotting down stuff and jotting down stuff. But you know, it dawned on me, and I think it was seen by the response of those that showed up at the graveside Friday. Grace touched a whole lot of people's lives. Grace lived a passionate life. She wasn't like anybody else. But you know what? God loved her. She loved God. She accepted Jesus. And she struggled with all kinds of stuff, but she didn't let that get her down. She just kept on trucking. And she kept working hard. You know, there's a lot to be learned from a person named Grace. She carried a name that means something to us spiritually beyond what we'll ever dream. That in spite of what we do, in spite of where we're lacking spiritually, God's grace covers us. Isn't that incredible? Why? Because He's that great of a God. You can be whoever you are. I want you to understand something. We're not trying to make you into some kind of Arlington model or mold. You've been made in the image of God. And that great God who made you wants to be lived out through you. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, whatever struggles you're fighting, whatever things that you're wrestling with, God wants His greatness to flow through you. And there are going to be those times that it's rough. I understand that. But when you're determined to broadcast through everything that you have the greatness of God, He takes those rough edges and He sands them down. He pretties your life up. He makes you. He molds you. We've sung many, many times about the potter and the clay and how He just molds us and works on us. That's how great He is. He's not like some human beings who are afraid to make a mistake or afraid to be honest or afraid to just simply understand, hey, I need work. He knows we need work and He stays with us until we allow Him to work. Yes, there's a point that He says enough's enough. And you know, that point is a hard moment. Because when He says enough is enough, you got to realize how much He's put in and how much we've resisted. Our battle every day is not with each other, and it's not with our culture, and it's not with the world. It's whether or not we're going to worship a great God or worship Satan. You say, but wait a minute. I may not worship God, but I'm not worshiping Satan. I'm going to close with this principle that we're going to pick up on next week. If you're not worshiping God, you can't be worshiping anybody else but Satan. Because there is no middle of the road to a great God. It's either all or it's all against. It's either, hey, God's got my attention or Satan's got my attention. Satan's a loser. He's a defeated loser. And he tries to bring down anybody and everybody that will follow him. But there's a great God that's constantly hanging in there for you. And he's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Just celebrate my greatness and watch what'll happen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. There are a lot of people that we get excited about. We all have our heroes. And we've begun to understand in a very vivid way over the last few years that even heroes crash and burn. And I look at people, me, you, and I see us searching, trying to find that one person that we can put our trust in. Some people do it with their pastor. Listen, don't you ever do that with me. Don't you do that with any of our staff. Don't even do it with your Bible study teacher. We're not here for you to follow us. We're here to help you as we struggle to follow the only person that'll never crash and burn. Our great God, Jehovah God. His greatness is all in His love for you. Some of you are wrestling with some stuff right now. There's some things in your life that God keeps telling you, hey, this needs to change. And you've struggled with it. There's a lack of excitement about the fact that God loves you because you don't even really dwell on that much each day. And some of you think, man, you're defeated, you're wiped out because you've done something and so it's over with. And you've forgotten just how great God is. You want to see how great God is, you go read the book of Genesis. And you look at Abraham. You've sung that song. And you look at what Abraham went through. You look at Sarah, what she went through. And all the way through their lives, lived up into their hundreds, you find, hey, there were times, yeah, they made mistakes. But they kept fighting, they kept working. And each time there was this incredible great God who picked them up, who put a Band-Aid on them, who put them back together, and who eventually accomplished His will. And His will was providing the very lineage that produced Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when you see that thread, and you see it begin in Genesis and run throughout the entire Old Testament, you get into the Gospel of Matthew, and you see then even there's all of this stuff. But there's the greatness of God who comes through and brings home His incredible will. That's for you too. Don't think that's just a church thing or that's something we read about and that's something that's history. That's for you too. Where are you missing the celebration of the greatness of God? When you sing, are you singing out realizing God is the audience? God's the one we're celebrating. God's the one we're praising. I don't care if you don't sound good. You ought to sing as loud as you can. Because He's a great God who loves you and who desires and who deserves our praise.
It is an honor that you have spent some time today on this Winning Truth webcast. Please know that we pray for you every day. If there is something specific that we can help you with in your journey with Christ, would you please email us, pastor@arlingtonknoxville.com. pastor@arlingtonknoxville.com. We would love to share with you and we would love to assist you in your journey with Christ. He loves you more than you will ever know. And I pray you do not go a day without living in that reality. We'll see you again right here on the next Winning Truth webcast. May God bless you.